So today we have another short lesson on forgiveness. Actually, today we're going to be talking about forgiveness and self-love and why I see that as a marriage made in heaven. A number of years ago, I began to notice that in every case where I was teaching my radical self-love processes, and yes, they are pretty radical, I will admit, that there would always be a bump in the road that needed some additional attention. And unless we addressed it, we couldn't move on. And it was nothing at all that we could even step over, step around. In fact, if we tried in any way to avoid it, it always demanded attention, more and more attention. And most times, it demanded full attention until the development of self-love could really develop and be anchored in. So what was this? It was a need for forgiveness at a very pivotal place where a certain aspect of emotional maturation had stopped. I realized that I was really on to something here. In fact, I thought it was profound. Because what really started to create these pivotal shifts was this new willingness to also look at that dense energy of unforgiven past that had prevented these people, these beautiful people, from moving forward in their lives. And it was amazing to me how this information would come forward. I'm always in awe of this. You know, it was rarely like right out there. And often instead, it had many layers of what I call muck over it. And it prevented it from being seen previously or obviously. And this muck was pungent. It was filled with smelly old socks and things that had been kicked under the bed. But then through this haze of denial and anger and dismissal, and sometimes even such frustration that there would be rage, there would also be tears, lots and lots of tears, with a chaser of indignation and often, how could they? Lots and lots of threads were in this tapestry, and the stories often wound around and around, some apparently repetitious in their themes, but others seemingly were disconnected, although often there was this eerie sort of similarity. So what was the holdup, you might ask? Why? And how did this energy of forgiveness hold such command? Because the energy waiting for release through this process had become stagnant and so dense it was like a blood clot. And as a blood clot affects its surrounding tissues, it creates, at the very least, a stricture, a closing, so that the energy cannot move freely. So, in extreme cases, what happens with the tissues around a blood clot is that it dies. In medicine, we call this necrosis. I look at it as necrosis of self in some very severe situations. And it is so self-destructive. It's like death to that part of life, which of course is always the most important part to get in contact with. So this necrosis, this dying of these parts, had also already begun to attack the very fiber that was needed to nurture any new growth, any new life. And there is not one person here on this earth who doesn't always want something new to come into their lives, even as resentful or adamant they are about not changing. Very rarely do we come across a person who wants everything to stay just as it is, who is also healthy and happy and living a whole life. So we start to see how insidious this dense energy is. And you know what? It's scary. I know it sounds scary, and the truth is that it can be very scary. It's almost like it has control over our lives rather than we. So just how insidious is it? How erosive is it to the relationship with the self? And by the way, that self, as I've referred to it in the past, is with a capital S. That's the self that we're all striving for, the one that's connected to every aspect of our greatness. And it allows us to have complete freedom to be co-creators of the lives that we are here to live. But what happens with this dense energy is that it produces a complete breakdown within the internal communication system that is relying on the clear flow to get the energetic nurturing and nourishment that it requires. So how did this show up? What were the symptoms that would catch my attention? This is where it would get really interesting. I began to notice that instead of radical self-love, there was radical self-sabotage. Instead of radical self-love, there was radical confusion. Instead of radical self-love, there was radical self-doubt. And instead of radical self-love, there was radical separation of self. And instead of radical self-love, there was radical self-loathing. And instead of radical self-love, there was radical stagnation in their lives, radical unhappiness, radical unhealthiness, and radical disconnect from life itself. Are you getting the picture here? In other words, instead of having access to the limitless vats of energy that only wanted to enhance their lives, they were cut off from every energy supply that they needed to fund any expansion, anything that they wanted to create new in their lives. So as you can imagine, what showed up was pain, lots and lots of pain. So this marriage with the self also had to be a marriage with forgiveness as a witness to the ceremony of dedication and commitment. To thine own self be true. So what does the process of forgiveness do? Well, it unravels the stories. It sorts out the truth from the illusions so that the confusion can be cleared. It reduces the need for self-sabotage in order to keep those old stories going. If they're not present, they don't need to be fed anymore. And it reduces the affected areas that have been eroded by self-doubt so that a new confidence is born. Personal empowerment is activated once again. And instead of feeling separated from themselves and the rest of the world, there's a repair of these broken cords and this union is reestablished inside and out. In other words, it is remarkable. You could even call it miraculous. And I see it falling under that umbrella of such love. And what's even more remarkable is that this rush of energy that erupts when the forgiveness of self is realized is also an opportunity to spread your wings and to see your deeper beauty. And all of that had been hidden within the folds of those stationary, perhaps even frozen wings all that time. And now it's finally exposed, and you get to see yourself like you have never seen yourself before. And here's what's amazing. You're going to suddenly realize that you're being seen by others as you have never allowed yourself to be seen before as well. And suddenly, that peace beyond all understanding that we often is heard spoken of is yours. And yes, it becomes easier and easier then to recognize the choices and the decisions and the actions to take that are in alignment with the life that your heart wants and deserves to live. So once that which was mission impossible is now mission possible, and more than possible, we can continue on this journey of developing a self-love awareness that then becomes a self-love lifestyle. And it's aligned with the heart shifts that open the doors for living from spirit, your higher self. And that's what feeds your soul. A marriage made in heaven. So that's the end of our podcast today. But I promise you that there's more on forgiveness, more on heart shifts, and more on self-love to come. And I hope that you're starting to feel yourself always curious, always expanding, but perhaps even a bit softer in recognizing, remembering that what's possible for these others is possible for you too. So I remain your heart shift coach. And of course, I'm sending you lots of hugs and heart shifts until we meet again next time. Bye-bye.